So the name of this lesson is Last Day People, and it's the characteristics, which is called the unacceptable behavior. You hear me go over this 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 4 many times. Now, unless somebody on this line is more than a couple of hundred years old, all of us have been born into what's known as the perilous times. We're about to read this. And so unfortunately to us, it just seems normal. So when, of course, the time when people read it beforehand, that's why he says, mark this, in the last days, there will be perilous times. And if you're reading from the NIV, there'll be terrible times and so on and so forth. And I put this one in the King James Version because a lot of these, the statements or characteristics, the translations were correct, more accurate. So that's why I use that one just for this. So as we read along, I'll explain it. But he's showing that there is characteristics that we are seeing, not in the world, because these are already characteristics of the world for the most part. He's saying we're going to be seeing this in the church. We're going to be seeing this in people that call themselves Christians. And unfortunately, a lot of these, we don't realize that we're actually doing them. Some of them we encourage. Some of them we train. Some of them we want people to have. Some of them we're attracted to. And it's a dangerous thing to have. So let's read what he says in this verse, and then we're going to break each of these characteristics down because it'll allow us to really check ourselves to make sure we're not representing this. Okay? Because a lot of times when people read this and we hear perilous times, we immediately think Revelation. And that's why it starts in 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 8. It says, this know also. And then NIV, it says, mark this. It says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, he first makes that statement. He says, make a note of this, that in the last days, you're going to see something horrible happen. That's why it's called terrible times or perilous times. And he's saying, now, here's what you're going to see. And he starts off with men shall be. So what he's not saying is this is what's going to happen to man. He's saying, no, this is what man changed into or allowing himself to be. So we're going to read through these and then we'll break these down. First of all, he's saying men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now watch this. Having a form of godliness. In other words, I want to look like a Christian, but denying the power thereof. And people have to understand, when I deny the power, then I'm not believing. Hopefully you know that, okay? So in other words, I can call myself a Christian all I want and say I went through the steps, but denying the power means, but I'm not living it, right? I say I believe in God, but I don't follow what his word says. That means I'm denying the power, okay? And he says, from such, turn away. So in other words, we're supposed to avoid that, but unfortunately, these characteristics, as you see, we go through them, are going to actually describe many that are in the church. In fact, it might even describe us if we're not careful. And this is what we have to really examine ourselves and realize. And he's saying this is the danger of this group. He's saying, for of this sort, they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Let me break that down. What it's basically saying, they're going to go into those who are, I guess, more, and one translation say simple-minded. And the reason why it beats up on women, because unfortunately, when people try to con, that's the first they go after. And it's unfortunate, but that's what they try to use. They try to use that to mislead. And it says, so it leads the women. But it also says that the same group is laden with sin. In other words, they call themselves Christian, but sometimes their lives have more sin in it. They're doing junk more than what the world is doing. It says they're led away with diverse lusts. In other words, you see things in their lives that pull them away. Unfortunately, everybody's going to have desires, but they're led away from it. You know, you see them doing it because it's something that has more of a hold on them. And watch this. In verse 7, it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And what does that mean? It means they're going to church and they're studying their Bible, but there's no growth. In other words, their understanding of God's word is going nowhere. And the problem is, and that once again describes many today, and the problem is of where our characteristics and where our focus is. And that's why he says in verse 8, now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. And those were supposedly the magicians that were going against them that did the first three plagues and were able to the same ones. It says, so do these also resist the truth? Men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, the importance of this, he's saying this is not good. And he's letting us know people who have these characteristics are calling themselves Christians, but they're doomed. And this is what we have to understand. We don't take this serious because this is him pointing to something that I think we take for granted. That I don't think we realize some of these characteristics which exist, we sometimes encourage. Let's break it down and get an understanding of it. The ones that I know that we even encourage more, I'm going to put emphasis on it, and I'll let you know what they are. And the first one covers it, lovers of themselves. And the Greek word that was used for that meant fond of self, but it also meant selfish. Okay, now I know people say, well, doesn't the command tell me to love my neighbor as I love myself? See, in that verse, how I love myself is me applying God to me. So I got to love my neighbor by applying God to them. Okay, that's how I'm loving myself. A lover of self means how I hold myself up, how I esteem myself. Do you understand that? In other words, everything is done for me. And that's why I have in the other column to give clarity on it. It says your sole purpose for everything is for self, including serving God. Your purpose for giving is the receiving and the accolades and the feelings. You back down in situations, not because you are trying to be a peaceful person, but because you don't want to deal with them. The ground you stand on is you. So in other words, and unfortunately, the lovers of self even go to church for self. Now, what do I mean by that? Unless I'm completely happy, I don't care if they're preaching the word, I'm going to go find another church, or I'm not going to go to church, or I'm going to, you know what I mean? Everything's built upon the me factor. And that's a lover of self, in which if you are living in the life and the purpose is you, then that's a major problem. And that's describing us. And that does exist in many ways. And you see churches readjusting themselves for people. You know, I mean, I told you one of the main things I knew that was clear even when I started in the ministry, and I was saying, what do I do to keep their attention? It was clearly saying nothing. My job is just to give the word. And I do see clearly if people aren't interested, they're not interested. And they allow their interest to dictate them and not the urgency of getting God's word. You see how that works? In which we go, unless you keep my attention, I'm not going to pay attention to God's word. Now, as foolish as that is, because God is saying, but this is for you. This is for your protection. This is for your life. So when you're a lover of self, you have to understand the biggest danger that happened to us was us. The first sin and all the sins from that part happened from him, talk about Satan, using us against us. That's the weapon he uses of us. So if I am a lover of myself, the way I feel trumps what God says. What I think bypasses what God says. And that's why you'll see verses that are clearly in God's word and you see people totally ignoring them. I had a couple that came in and I've seen a couple that even where it happened, where one was a Christian and they said they really, you know, trust in God and everything. Another person was another religion. And they wanted to marry. And I clearly showed them in God's word where it says you cannot be unequally yoked. Now, immediately you would think, especially in the Christian, it would go, oh, well, then we can't do it. But it was, no, we're going to go find somebody that will marry us. And the fear in that is they love what they're getting out of this marriage more than fearing God. And that's just one example of many things that we do. We clearly know the word says this, but we're doing this. And that's a lover of self. Okay, so we have to examine ourselves when we make a final decision, is it fully based on God or do we allow us to have the say? So that's a lover of self. The next one was covetous. Now, this is one time this word, as it used covetous, the NIV's word for it was better, lovers of money, because covetous is that term is usually used when I want something you have. Okay, that's, you know, it includes envy and it makes me strive because of you having it. The actual, what this word really means is fond of silver, but it really means materialistic. I love stuff, a lover of stuff. Okay. And as you see over there, it says financial gain, worship of wealth. You look to money as the source, not recognizing God as the true source. And money is just a resource. Your love for stuff is your driving force. You either overspend or oversave. I'll explain that. Now, let me show you what, and I don't want to put anybody out, but you got to keep this in mind. This could include us. There are sometimes we'll buy stuff, and I know it happened more in the 80s and 90s, and it's probably happening now. We'll buy something because of a name and spend thousands, while you can get something that looks the exact same way for hundreds or maybe 20 of dollars. And people will do that because of the name and everything that comes with it. So that's where I'm a lover of stuff, where I want the whole part of it to define me. I love the stuff that I have. If I'm an over shopper or I'm an over saver. Now, if I'm and some may say, well, no, isn't saving a good thing to do? Well, if you remember in James 5, where he talks about hoarding wealth, if I am not using my wealth for God, do you understand it? Now, am I saying, is it wrong to buy stuff? No. Okay. I'm not saying that. And that's not what the Bible's saying. What it's saying is if that defines me, if that's my driving force. Now, here in America, I think we are more in danger of that than anybody because we have so much access. You know, during this time, people are really struggling with being in, but from a spiritual perspective, there's no problem. You know what I mean? It's a problem to us because we're used to getting what we want. I want to go out when I want to go out and do what I want to do instead of, you know, well, I just can't do anything for a while. We love to have what we have. We love to have access. I love to have the stuff that I do have. I love to talk about the stuff that I do have, and I love to be surrounded by it in which it defines me. And it can come in so many different forms. And unfortunately, we're in a society today which dictates that, but it shouldn't dictate the body of Christ. Our stuff should not define us. And instantly and immediately, we should be one of the first to not let that get in our way, to help others with it. I remember my sister one time offered another family member, say, okay, you can have anything you want. And then they thought to themselves, oh, no, they're going to take the one thing that I really like. And they did. And the person took that. But now, of course, she could have gone, no, I meant anything but that. But no, she humbled herself enough to go, no, I told her she can have that. But it was still an eye-opening thing. And praise God that she was still able to go. You know what? It's just stuff. You understand that. And it would even make us be a little more frugal and help others. We would, if we wouldn't buy as much as we do or allow it to define us, we'd probably be more helpful for people that really need it. You know what I mean? Like, once again, this is one of those times where people are really hurting and there might be a stimulus check, but there are some people that are extremely hurting by it. And this is time where we probably could help them if it wasn't for, but no, I had my eye on stuff. More stuff. And I got to be careful on that stuff thing because my wife's going through this, minimizing thing. And she keeps getting close to my workbench, which I never use. But I don't want her to minimize that. But that's the same thing. It goes for stuff that I probably never use. So it does include me. So pray for me on that. But it's something that we still allow to define us. And it's very dangerous in a capitalistic society. And this is why we as Christians have to live as aliens and strangers and not always participate with where we're at, because it may be seem right now, but in God's eyes it's not. So that's that one. That's the covetous. So hopefully if that's us, if it defines you and you're materialistic and it defines you, it's something that needs to be readjusted and changed. The third characteristic that he talked about was boastful. And the Greek word is meaning a braggart or a show off. Now, when you hear braggart or boastful, we tend to only think it's when somebody talks about themselves. But a lot of times, it's what we display. I may never say a word. And let's see what it says here. And I have, you do or say things so others will see it and compliment and credit you. Being self-confident, you see you as the power with God as the help at times. So in other words, you want credit. You want to make sure people see, you know what I mean? In other words, I'll drive, I'll wear, I'll do things for others to see. That's a braggart. I will make sure, even though whatever talent I may have, I may say, oh, I thank God for it. While in reality, I want credit for it. I want to make sure you know I did it. You know what I mean? If I really put a lot of emphasis on what I did and I want to make sure that I get credit for it, that's a braggart. Okay. When it's all about me thinking that I did, not realizing God can turn whatever you have off tomorrow. I mean, just in the twinkling of an eye, and you can't do it. So now if you were that great, you'd still be great. And that's what we have to get. But a lot of times we may say, oh God, I give you the glory. But in the glory of it, let's say somebody else got the credit. It wouldn't matter to you because you're just an instrument. Do you understand that? You wouldn't look back and look, I worked hard to get to where I'm at and I did this. You ever hear people when they say that? And I get that. And that's something we're taught to do, not realizing, no, God gave me the ability to get to where I'm at. And it's all about God. Because even I don't care how hard you work, God wouldn't allow you to do it. You can work day and night and you would never get there. And you want to make sure you understand that. Okay. And so it's important for us who are boastful to boast in the Lord. There's a verse that even says that everything we do, boast in the Lord. So when I do something, the only pride I have is thank you, God, for allowing me to participate or to be used by you in this situation. But I got to make sure in that. And so then even when I try to show my success sometimes, or when I try to show how talented I am or try to show it, we got to be careful because we're displaying us and we're setting ourselves up to maybe sometimes make some others fall. But when we display Christ, it'd be complete humility. Humility is I only am able to do what he allows me to do. That's it. So if you gave somebody else the credit, big deal, it doesn't matter. All the glory to God. So boastfulness is a common practice once again today, and we see it. We want to make sure I want to drive something that everybody sees, right? I want to wear something so I'm recognized. I want to make sure I stand out. How come I wasn't recognized for the promotion? How come I wasn't recognized on this? Why are you giving this other person the credit when I did this for you? All of this is when we're giving ourselves and we're so busy stuck on ourselves, being the lovers of self again, we're allowing our boasting of self, where we are our, how would I put it, our best advertiser, you know, in which we're putting ourselves out there and we want to make sure you know it. So Christians, that should not be us. It should not exist in us at all. I don't care what you quote unquote have accomplished, all the glory to God. All right. So that's boastful. The other one, and unfortunately, and those, these three that we just did, lovers of their own selves, the covetousness and the boastful, are three very complementary things. In fact, when I mean by complementary, I'm talking about worldly complementary, in which we hold people up high that have these traits. In a worldly sense, the most successful people in the world, in a worldly sense, have these qualities, and this fourth one as well. And that's not good. Okay. And unfortunately, if you were to buy some of those books that tell you how to be a success, you'll see these. They won't use these exact words, but they'll make you it about you. Do you understand that? And pride is a big thing. And unfortunately, and we tend to have this. It could be about our heritage, where we live. Pride is a very dangerous thing. Bible is very clear on pride, of how God is against pride. And you'll still hear people have a lot of pride. You'll hear people go, but we're a proud people. That's not a compliment. That's a dangerous thing. In the Greek word here, it's saying appearing above others, noticeable, haughty. You know, and that means looking, you're at a spot where you can look down on. Now, pride in a sense, not necessarily being conceited, it is I draw the line. That's why I have where you set your own standards and lines and rarely go below it, not allowing God to be the standard. Now, if you're very careful and you really check yourself and examine yourself, I think all of us as Christians are saying, okay, God, use me. Here's the problem. You're subconsciously or not realizing you're also saying, God, use me except for or not with that person or not at this time or don't take me away from this. That's pride because you're drawing the line. See, a person that's saying, use me, God, is any way, any time, with any place, because however and wherever you want to put me, okay, it's you're telling God, just put me there, because why? Because he's the one using, I'm just an instrument. Did you understand that? So if a musician is playing his instrument in a stadium of thousands of people, or if he's playing in a hospital room with four people, no matter what, that instrument's going to still sound the same. Do you understand? It's just being used to be played by him. But we will go, well, no, I'm just used for the stadium. But so if you go to the small one, use another one, use a backup. And sometimes we live our lives only for the things we want. Only certain people we'll talk to. Only certain places we'll go. That's pride. We treat certain people differently than we treat others. That's pride, because the standard is based on us, not based on God. Unfortunately, this exists too much in the church. You know, pride is something that it should not be. And like I said, it should not exist in our race. It should not exist in our gender. It should not exist in our family. You know what I mean? I can't go, hey, the Smith family are a proud people. Once again, I just cursed my family. No. It should be the Smith family. We need to be humble, used by God. And my last name, Smith, is meaningless because I'm a child of God. And that's where we want to make sure our pride is in him. We take pride in him in us, if that makes sense. Okay? So that's a characteristic. Once again, those four are very honored or pushed today, and they're very dangerous when we allow it. The other characteristic that we see is called blasphemers. Now, this is one where in NIV it really messed it up, because it'll call it abusers. I understand why they call it abusers, the word it translates to, because that word can be used as abusers. But the thing behind it means this word, and it comes from the Greek word blasphemos, which we use for blasphemy. And it means insulting, making false statements with malicious intent against men, or especially impious against God. In our case, this is just when we are making things against God, not showing proper respect for God. In fact, in the other column, I really broke it down to the act of insulting or showing contempt or lack of reverence to God, sacred things, or towards something considered sacred. Now, you may look at that and say, okay, so what are we talking about? So, for instance, when I use God incorrectly, even when I think it's good, that's blasphemy. You understand that? This is why do we come to Bible study? Why are we going to Word? Why do we need to understand? So that I'm dealing with God in the right way. I don't know if you remember in Romans 12:1, it says to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And then it says holy and pleasing to God. Now, a lot of people know that offer your body as a living sacrifice, and then we do it our way, which you don't realize. If a sacrifice is not done the way God says, it's not an accepted sacrifice. I hope everybody knows that. But you have a lot of people still living their way and say, I'm doing this for God. And we tend to do that. We tend to fill in the blank of something we're doing for God, and it's unacceptable by God because, you know, it's something that God, it said, you know, that he's against. This is an abomination to him. It's something that he's against. And I'm saying, I'm going to present this thing that you don't like to you. And we tend to do that. So when I, and this is why it's so important for us to be students of the word. You know, why do we have question and answer before a Bible study, and we offer it as a time? And why am I adamant about questions? Because you want to make sure that you're getting biblical answers on what you're doing. So you're doing it in an acceptable way. God is not, you know, we can be wishy-washy sometimes to go, well, they meant well, right? Because we're not sacred. You know what I mean? Your child does something and they didn't do the right thing. We'll go, well, they meant well. And we go with that. God is sacred. So we got to be very careful how we represent God. You remember when Uzzah, you know, in him touching the ark was blasphemy. You may go, but wait a minute, because he meant well, but it was unacceptable to God and he died. And we must understand that. Okay. So this also goes for things that God calls sacred. We know that falls into communion. That also falls into marriage. Okay. How I treat or not treat marriage is a big part in this. That's why it says towards things that are considered sacred. And when he says what God brought together, let no man separate. In other words, when we start making laws and changing things and readjusting and things we do outside of marriage and stuff like that, all this is sacred. That's blasphemy. Okay. So, and that's dangerous. And it's something we have to make sure we're careful not to partake in and get involved in. You know, in that sense, these are dangerous things that we tend to overlook. Okay. And this is why if we had reverence like we were supposed to, and that's why it says lack of reverence, before we take a step, we would check with God. Think about it. Everything you do spiritually, ask this question, is it in line with God? And that's the question you want to ask yourself. Okay. And I would, you know, because we're going to close on this. something that you want to make sure you're saying as you're praying and as you're examining yourself, are you sure the way you're worshiping him, is it in line with him? Or do you just take it for granted and think he just accepts everything because you're doing it and you're saying it's for him? And that's a lack of reverence. If we did communion incorrectly, you read that in 1 Corinthians 11. It shows that. That's dangerous. It can cause sickness and it can cause death. Think about that. What we just said about marriage. It's a dangerous thing if we don't touch that sacred. Remember what he said about vengeance. I see Christians that will hold grudges on others. That's a form of vengeance. And he says very clearly, vengeance is mine. So then when I then, well, I'm not speaking to them. Now I'm showing vengeance. You don't realize how blasphemous you're being. You're taking some of God. It has nothing to do with what you and that other person are going through. God shows how to deal with that. He shows that in Matthew 18. But you're busy. No, I'm not going to speak to them. No, I'm not going to do this with them. No, I'm going to be mad at them. And you're going to now have vengeance, showing no reverence for God. That's a form of, think about it. Everything he tells us how to do, and he gives specific instructions, and we do it other ways. Blasphemy. And unfortunately, if you stop for a minute and pay close attention to how we're doing things, what you may see is, man, a lot of times when I thought I was worshiping, I was blaspheming. Think about it. Something to think about. So that's good homework on these last five that we just went over. Examine yourself. All right. Now, and I always give this disclaimer. This is for you to examine you. Okay, I don't want you going out telling somebody, you blasphemer, please don't go out there and beat up anybody with these things. We encourage others, and if we do see somebody doing it, then we want to make sure we're doing it gently and, you know, carefully when we're helping others. It's not for us to condemn. We have no right, because unfortunately, I can assure you, we all have our problems in these. But the homework I'm giving is for you as an individual, or even as a couple, a husband and wife, you do it with each other, prayer partners do it, and what you're examining, did he describe me?
Everybody went.
Any questions?
Pastor, I have a question on sacred things.
Yes.
And we know that communion is sacred, and you said marriage. What about how people hold other things as sacred, which they're not, like the pulpit. Yep. And when you do communion, how you do communion, they consider that sacred itself. Instead of the communion itself, like you have to have the white covering, you have to do this and you have to do that. And they treat those as sacred things.
And that's an excellent question, because remember we did a sermon called Wrong Righteousness, in which man has incorporated, and the Pharisees and Sadducees were notorious for doing that. They would add extra things and call them sacred. I don't know if you remember when Jesus was against them, where he said, hey, the money that you were otherwise given to your parents, if you say it's Corbin, in other words, but no, I'm going to use it for the church, then you don't have to give it to your parents and you're fine. Even though God says to honor your father and mother. Remember that? The danger when man starts incorporating sacredness is extremely dangerous, because there's nothing I can do to make it sacred. Do you understand that? Some people even think, and I'm sure we all grew up and we've seen this, and I bet some of us are still guilty of it. You may own a cross, and other than movie vampires, they're not going to do anything to anybody. You understand that? It's a symbol, and that's all it should be. The minute you make it more than what it is, you're doing that. Nowhere in the Bible does it do that. So the way we know when something is sacred, like communion, the main things, if you read 1 Corinthians 11:3, what he tells us how to do it in there, from there, how you do it from there is up to you. Do you understand that? Then, in other words, as long as you're covering that people don't overdo it, people are not underdoing it, that you're examining yourself, you understand that? That whole cover thing and everything, that was a man-made added part to it to give the visual of being sacred. Unfortunately, the Catholic Church is notorious for making a lot of things sacred, but they don't have that. Only God can make something sacred. So if somebody tells you something is sacred and they can show you it in the Bible, then that's sacred. But if somebody, you know, kind of adds more to it, then that's where you have to be very careful, because then we're participating in things that are not of God, and that does put us in a dangerous place. Does that help?
Yep, thank you.
Other questions? Okay, praise God. Remember, on the website, a copy of this is up there, so you can either go up there and read it, download it, go through it. Please check yourselves on it, and then God willing, we will continue on this next week. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Let us pray.
Amen.
Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, first of all, we thank you for your word, your guidance, your instruction, just for us to examine everything that we do and how everything that we need is in your word. Your word has also let us know that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of you. Help us to really take this time not to grumble, not to complain, not to get caught up in our discomfort, but to realize we have an opportunity to really get close to you. Help us to do that in the right way. Help us to truly understand you. Help us to love others through you. Let us recognize how sacred you are and how sacred we are to be in the world. We ask you to bless those who have lost loved ones, those who may even have this disease. We ask you to bless those, dear God, who may have lost jobs, those who are struggling financially. Help us to also have our eyes open for those who are struggling and provide the help that we can to display you to them. Help us to make sure we are available at all times to shine a light and to plant seeds in the way that we're supposed to. Continue to watch over everyone and just give us the guidance on how you want us to be in every situation. And all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we all say.
Amen.
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 All right. Love you guys.
Night. Love.